accomplish. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Truly wonderful that we have a Lord like our Savior Jesus Christ to be able to come to when we feel the need, and that need is really there all the time. It's just sometimes we feel it a lot more than others, and it's good when we can feel our need of Him. When we get to feeling like we don't need Him, we're just surely mistaken, and we need a good meeting to remind us of how much we need the Lord in order to be able to do anything in this world in a way that's pleasing and right. I appreciate that sweet, humble prayer that's been offered, and just very thankful for the prayers of the Lord's people. Prayer is such an important thing. God gave us that ability to pray, gave us the unction to pray. The Holy Spirit allows us to have an understanding whereby we're enabled to pray, and just to be able to take it to the Lord in prayer and cast our cares upon Him, for He cares for us, and just leave a throne of grace with a measure of peace in our hearts that we just simply didn't have before. I pray that the Lord would help us to do that better, so that as we live in here in this world, we don't act and behave like those who don't know the Lord. We have a great Lord who's called us out of nature's darkness unto His marvelous light. And He did that for a reason. He did that we might show forth praise to Him. And it's wonderful to be able to join with you today in song and praising Him, and as Brother Charles has led us in prayer, praising the Lord. And I do pray that the Lord would help me and bless me, enable me to preach to you. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, He tells us to preach the word. That's the subject matter that we're to preach to God's children, what is contained in the written word of God. Of course, all that's in the written word of God testifies of the living word. It's the living word that we're to preach. We use the preach word, declaring unto God's children the written word, which testifies of the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said to be instant. This is not my text, but it's okay to turn there. He said, be instant. In 2 Timothy 4, 2, He said, be instant. That means to be prepared, be ready. Instant. That means whatever the situation, whatever the circumstances, a minister of the gospel is the servant of the Lord. And he should be ready. We all really should always be ready to give an answer to any that asks of you. And this afternoon I desire the blessings of Almighty God to be able to declare unto you the good news of salvation by grace. That salvation is not the combined work of man and God, but salvation is of the Lord. That salvation was done by the Lord, and it's been done for the Lord's people. And it's by grace that it's done, and by grace alone, not anything added to grace. If you add anything to grace in the way of works, you add it to grace, you no longer have grace. It ceases to be grace. And so there's no peace in that. Really, there's no even an ability to work in that. You know, you can't work outside of God's grace. You can't just change your mind, change your thoughts, change your ideas, change your belief, change your behavior. You can't just fix yourself up and decide, I'm going to be different. We've probably all gone through stages in our life where we tried to do that, and we try to break a habit or try to do something different or try to do what we're supposed to do, and we do it on our own strength and our own ability, And what we find ourselves every time falling. Now that's what we do by nature. We fall. But thanks be to God, we've been given a strength. We've been given an ability. And that came to us by grace. That's why we want to be grounded in grace. That's why we don't want to leave grace. That's why we don't want to cease talking about grace. That's why it's so important that every time we come, we talk about the grace of God. The riches of God that have come to us at the cost of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus, when He died on the cross, bought and paid for His people. That He accomplished a salvation that will be ours in heaven and immortal glory, but is also ours now, right now, while we live. We have a deliverance given to us that allows us to act different, behave different, think different, and be able to do things that we could not do and cannot do on our own. If we try to do them in order to get into the grace, well, we'll miss the mark. But if we recognize the grace and walk in the grace that He's given us, we'll be able to do them. And when we do them, then we'll be able to give the glory to where it belongs, because it won't be of us, it'll be of Him. And do you see the difference in that? Many people in the world talk about doing things in order to get God to bless you. That's not how God operates. First of all, God has told us what we can do. What did He say we could do without Him? He told His disciples that very clearly when He spoke to them, and He spoke to them about abiding in the vine. And if you don't abide in the vine, you'll wither and die and be taken forth as a branch, and burn, and men will gather you and burn you. But if we abide in the vine, He is the true vine, we are able, and without Him, we can't do nothing. He tells us that very clearly. And then the Apostle Paul tells us that we can do all things through Jesus Christ who loved us. We can do all things. And those all things are whatever God calls us to do. And when we feel like we don't have the ability, well, we're just simply wrong. We're operating in the flesh. We're using something that is different than the Word of God. That's why ministers are to preach the Word. We're not to preach the newspaper. We're not to preach current events. We're not to come. Now, when it applies and we preach the truth and it applies to what's going on in the newspaper and current events, yes, we're to stand boldly and earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. We're to do that in every circumstance. He says, in season and out of season. That means sometimes it's so easy to preach some days. Oh, I'll tell you, there's sometimes I'll be studying God's Word and just want a congregation somewhere to show up so I can tell them about something I just saw. Sometimes I'm on a trail and I go like, oh, if I just had somebody else to talk to on this trail. And sometimes a good brother, right in that moment, will send me a text, or he'll call me up on the phone, and we do get to preach right during the middle of the week, be able to talk about the Lord right on the phone. You know, not all preaching happens in the pulpit. They used to say about Brother Paul Troutner that Brother Paul Troutner was a preacher, and he says that when he preached, he preached all the time. He said sometimes he was in the pulpit, but wherever he was, whether he's pumping gas, he was going to be preaching to somebody, or whether he was in a restaurant, he was going to be preaching to somebody, or whatever the conversation, it was centered around the Word of God. What a great testimony that would be of any minister of the gospel. And my brother Daddy was like that a lot of times. If we were going to talk about anything very much, it wasn't going to be long where you were talking about the things of the Lord. And I thank God for that fellowship. And I thank God for all the preaching the Lord's allowed me to hear. You know, even in the midst of this pandemic, with all that's been going on and not able to get to the meetings at times the way we were able to do, the Lord saw fit to bless me. I believe I've heard in the last little while since the pandemic began more preaching than I've ever heard in my life. And I'm thankful to the Lord for every one of those messages that honor and glorify the Lord. I've come to this conclusion. You can't get too much preaching. You can't get too much. You can get too much of other things. You can definitely get too much chocolate cake. You can get too much Little Caesar's pizza. You can get too much Coca-Cola. You can get too much of anything. You can get too much of anything, except you don't get too much of the things of the Lord. You know, I believe that's what heaven's going to be. I believe it's going to be honoring and praising and worshiping God all the time. And though our bodies get tired physically up there, we won't have that hindrance. We won't have that in the way. We'll have a body made in fashion like unto His glorious body. And we'll have the old presence of sin. Won't it be good when the presence of sin is removed from you and you don't have that old man to contend with anymore? And you're just able to feed on the truths of God's Word and rejoice in the Lord. And I pray that it's good for you this day. I pray that you're hungry, that you have an appetite that is like good milk to you, that you just want to have more of it. To hear about Jesus and how great things He has done for us. He said, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Sometimes we seem to be out of season. Sometimes you get cold. Sometimes we grow weary. Sometimes we grow tired. Sometimes the love that we have for the Lord seems to wax cold. Sometimes we seem to have lost our first love. Remember over in the book of Revelations in chapter 2, that church at Ephesus, where He told them over there, He said in verse 2 of chapter 2, He said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. They sure sound like they're doing okay, don't they? He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. He said, because thou hast left thy first love. You know, we can't talk about the subject of God's love towards us too much. Scripture says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. When did God start loving His children? He loved them in covenant even before the very foundation of the world. He foreknew them. He foreloved them. Will God ever stop loving His children? Absolutely not. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Lord loved us unconditionally. He loved us in despite of what we were. The Lord loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son here into this world, and because of that love, Jesus died on the cross and paid a sin debt for us. And then God loved us so much that He called us in time and placed His love in our hearts so that we were enabled and given the ability to love Him and to love one another. And all, we can't talk too much about the love of God. As a matter of fact, if we're going to preach the gospel and we're going to preach the truth, it's based in God's love. Some people say, I don't want to hear anything about a doctrine of election. I don't want to hear anything about God's predestination. That I don't believe that a God that's a loving God would elect a people. Listen, election is about the love of God. God elected His people and chose them because He loved them. It's God's love that saves them and secures them. It's God's love that's going to carry us out of this world to be with Him in heaven in immortal glory. It's God's love that cannot fail, that nothing can separate us from His love. We can't talk too much about the love of God. If we remember the love of God, we'll want to do better, won't we? When we remember how much God loved us and that He sent His Son and Jesus died. Why did Jesus die? Because you and I had sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because we had told lies. Because we had done things that, all of the things that were contrary to the Word of God and the law of God. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Jesus came and died in this world so that we one day might be with the Lord, the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in heaven in immortal glory. God loved us so much that He would not have us to be separated from Him. And my sins would have separated me from Him. And your sins would have separated you from Him. And the judgment of God will fall one day upon those who are not covered in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there will be an eternal judgment that will be suffered by those that are not His family. Aren't you thankful that the Lord saw fit to have a family? Not just a few either, but out of every nation and out of every kindred and out of every tongue and out of every people, the Lord chose a people, and He loved that people. And He sent His Son to save that people. And all of those that He set apart, all of those that He sanctified, all of those that he loved in covenant before the foundation of the world, every one of them He will quicken and give life to, and every one of them will be with Him in heaven and immortal glory, and He will not lose one. Many times as we sang that hymn this morning over at Union Church, we sang a hymn about what the Lord has done, and then the question is asked, but am I among His loved? You have that question sometime. Am I one of His elect? Oh, did He die for me? When He rose again, did He rise for me? When He saved us by His blood, was it for me that He died? Am I one of His? Oh, it's God's little children that ask that question. And if you have that question in your heart, you thank the Lord for the question. You thank the Lord that you have that burden in your heart. You thank the Lord that you've been brought to a place where you recognize that if I got what I deserved, it wouldn't be for me. Now, I did not earn this. I did not merit this. It came to me by God's grace and God's grace alone. Therefore, I want my praise to be all given to the Lord, because nothing I have done, not any good, just as I am with one plea. And what was that plea? That Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee. He says that to whom? To those who feel to be so far from God that there's no help from them. If you feel in that state, that's an evidence that God awakened you. You see, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. The wicked are those that are left in the state that they're in by nature, where we would be. You know who the wicked would be if it was just left up to us? It would be all of us. We would all be in that state. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, that means he's puffed up. You ever had any pride in your countenance? Oh, I think of the pride that's entered into my life so many times. So many times that I got so puffed up, and so many times I wanted to go to battle. So many times I think, boy, if I just catch up with that guy, I'll show him just what he is and what I am. And I'll lay it on him and lay it on him hard. And the Lord has brought me to the place to realize what a mess I am. And if I was to stand today before God just based on what I've done, even in the best that I've done, even in the times that I've been standing before God's people and making an effort to preach the gospel, even the times when I filled the church pew and tried the best of my heart to worship Him, there's enough wrong with me that if I had to stand before God today and say, accept me, I've done enough, I've checked the boxes, receive me into Thy house, I know that I'd be cast away from Him, and rightly so. And let me say this to you, that if you don't see that and understand that, you don't realize what a shape you're in. You don't realize how far away from you, God, you and I are in without God's grace. If I had to do something to get into Christ, I would have never done it. I would have never looked to Him. Listen, we didn't do anything to get in Christ. We were chosen in Christ Jesus before the very foundation of the world. And then we were created in Christ Jesus when He made us new creatures, and we were born of His Spirit and made alive and given life. And then we as God's little children are to walk each and every day in that Spirit and by that liberty that He gives us to walk. Listen, you can't keep yourself. You didn't make yourself. You didn't cause yourself to be. And if you trust in yourself to keep yourself right, you're going to mess up. Y'all know that, don't you? It's the truth. But if I trust in the Lord, and I lean not on my own understanding, and I cast all my cares upon Him, and I do what He tells me in His Word, and I build my house upon the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He tells us to dig deep and build our house upon His Word. That's why we should be students of His Word, searching His Word. That's why preachers need to preach His Word. That's why we need to hear His Word and hear this same message over and over again. You said, brother, you're just preaching election. One more time, you're preaching God's grace. One more time, you're just telling us what you told us last week. That's the reason for that is because without that basis, without that foundation, I can't do one single thing pleasing to God. I must believe in Him for my righteousness. I must look to Him for the light I need. I must lean on Him for the wisdom that I need. I must trust Him for my physical health, for my financial health, for my material wealth, for all those things that I would need. And He knows just what I need, and He's able to supply it exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or think. And most importantly, for my spiritual well-being, I need to trust and depend upon the Lord. Because without Him, I can do nothing. He says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. This little church, although they had so many things right, they'd done something wrong. They had left their first love. Brethren, we don't want to leave our first love. We want to recognize who it is that has done so much for us. Where the love came from. Why is it that God loved us? Why is it that we're so, and we are richly blessed. The Lord has richly blessed us. You just don't know how blessed. We don't know how. I say you. We don't know how blessed we are to have a place like Little Happy Creek Church and our other sister churches where God's little children are able to gather in the kingdom of God and hear this truth proclaimed again and again from the pages of God's Word. That testimony of what Jesus has done for His people. Today I'm not going to tell you about what Jesus has done and what you need to do to get into it. I'm going to tell you, you were chosen before the foundation of the world in Christ, and what He did for you. I'm not going to tell you about what you need to do to stay in it. I'm going to tell you that the one who put you in it, who set you apart, who sanctified you, has also preserved you, which means you are preserved in Jesus Christ, and He won't miss anything that He's preserved. Everyone that has been given to Him will come to Him. And he that cometh to Him, He said, I will in no wise cast out. The reason you love the Lord is because He first loved you. You say, I don't know whether I love Him like I ought to. That's a pretty good sign if you feel that way. That's a little child of grace who makes that statement. I want to believe more. If you want to believe more, why do you want to believe more? Who gave you that desire to believe more? Did that come out of the old nature of man? Did that come out of a man who is wicked, who desires, who through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God, that God is not in all his thoughts? Does that come from the carnal mind that's enmity against God, that's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be? So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Where does that come from? It comes from a work of grace done in the heart of a little child of grace. And therefore, you and I are to walk believing and trusting in Him. If I have a text this afternoon, it's found in the book of Jude, and it's in the last few verses there in Jude. I love the book of Jude. It's been a very special book this weekend. I thank God for what He has given us in the writings here of the Apostle Jude. He says in the 17th verse, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These they be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. What He has done here is warn them that there would be even among them those that creep in unawares that would come preaching something else than what we hear and what we hold and what we believe, that would add to salvation by grace. And if you add anything to it, you add too much. And that they would separate themselves and there would be a division. Sometimes when we stand for the truth, it brings division. It will bring God's children closer together. But it will also cause division among God's people and those who do not love the Lord. They will not appreciate all glory and all honor and all praise be given to the Lord. And many of God's little children who belong to the Lord can get wrapped up in that. We see them all the time out in the things of this world. Those who are truly God's children, you see the evidence of that in their lives. You say, what evidence can you see in a little child of grace that's out in the world? We see the fruit of the Spirit. That's mentioned in Galatians chapter 6. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That goodness, those things that you see in God's children out in the world, some of them in other orders that don't preach salvation by grace, that teach something else. And we say, how could a little child of God get wrapped up in that? You see, it's so easy. He's telling God's little children here that we're to be aware and concerned when those come preaching to us that they're preaching nothing but grace. They don't add one thing to it. You know, sometimes we get so settled with it, we think nobody would be able to come in and deceive us even in a little bit. I'll tell you, someone could come in that really has a good, smooth delivery, has all those things just in place, maybe seemingly dots every I and every T, crosses every T in the sense of the way he explains things and teaches things, and can confuse God's little children, take the Word of God and misrepresent it, misapply it, take a text out of context, and the next thing, mislead and misguide God's children. I'm not saying all of them are not children of God that do that, but there are some that are not His children that do that, that creep in unawares. The Bible here tells us that they can do that. They creep in unawares. It's not unaware to them. They know who they are. But it's unaware to God's little children. In other words, He's saying, don't be shocked when that happens. Don't be shocked when that occurs. I haven't seen it a lot in my life, but I have gone through some heartbreaking divisions and some heartbreaking things, where you go through things and you wonder, how could such as this and that happen? The Lord is telling us right here that it can happen. Not only can it happen, that it will happen. He said, how that we were told there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. He said, call them beloved in verse 17. He comes in verse 20 and he says, but ye beloved. This is God's little children. What do we do in this world? He says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Now, that holy faith is not the grace of faith whereby we are enabled to believe. It is the doctrine of God's Word that faith once delivered to the saints. We're to exercise faith, but we also are to build up ourselves on the truth of God's Word. That's why it's important for old Baptists to know what the Bible teaches. That's why it's important for us to read our scriptures and search them to be sure that the things that we're being taught are so. Remember, the Berean brethren were no more noble than those in Thessalonica because they searched the scripture daily to see that the things they were being taught were so. We can't just leave it into the hands of our preacher and say, okay, whatever the preacher preaches is going to be okay. I know he won't mislead us or misteach us. That's putting way too much confidence in man. Now, we are to have some confidence in them, but we are to rightly divide the word of truth. We are to study to show and make sure that the things that are being taught are indeed of the Lord, because we can be misguided. Listen, not everybody who preaches false doctrine is not a child of God. I believe there are many of them who are doing the very best they can in what they know to try to present these things to God's little children. And He tells us what to do and to say to them. But there is also an acknowledgement here that there are some that are here just to mess us up. There are some here who are there to just confuse us and to misguide us, and to lead us away from the truth. Listen, we're not in a world that's friendly to the truth. It's a blessing that the Lord has allowed us to have the truth. We should hold it. And one of the things that we should do is hold it in love, in the sense of remembering again the love of God. You see, when you remember God's love, you remember God's grace. It's God's grace. And we should believe in God's love. We should believe in what He told us. He said He saved us from our sins. We should believe that. He said He gave us life. We should believe that. He said that He would supply unto us all those things that we stand in need of. We should believe that. He says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. That's what brethren do when we talk about these things with one another. That's what we do when we're riding down the road in the van and we're talking about the good things of the Lord and how great the Lord has been to us. That's what we do in our families when we have a problem and we go to the Word of God to answer that question that we have in our families. That's what we do when a wife and a husband have a problem and a conflict, and rather than battling it out in the flesh, they go to the Word of God and say, okay, what does the Bible tell us to do here? And He brings healing to our home through that. That's what we do when we take what Jesus has said in His Word and we build our lives upon it. He says that we dig deep and build our house upon a rock. And when the storms of life come and the troubles hit us, He says that in Luke chapter 6. He said in verse 47 of Luke 6, He said, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock." You see, our lives need to be laid upon a rock. That means we should take the teachings of God's Word and build our lives upon it. He says, "And when the flood arose," I love the language of the Bible. It didn't say if a flood arises. It says when it arises. We've gone over this many times, but it's good to go over it again. Listen, when the flood arises, he says, "The stream beat vehemently upon that house, and he could not shake it." You know why that house couldn't be shaken? It's because it's built on a rock. And you know what that rock was? It's the Lord Jesus Christ and the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in order to have those teachings in your life, it is required on our part to do some study and to be at the house of God, feeding on the Word of God and hearing preaching. That's why hearing preaching and talking about what the Lord has done for us is a blessing to God's little children. It gives you some strength. Your house is built upon a rock. And he says it could not shake it. You know why? For it was founded upon a rock. And that rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on and he says, "But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." When we don't build our lives upon God's Word and we don't act and respond in this world upon the teachings of God's Word, we're going to have a fall in our lives. And no question about that. We're not talking about anyone that belongs to the Lord losing their eternal home. That cannot happen. Even in the beginning of the book of Jude, just the first verse, says, "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James," he says, "to them that are sanctified by God the Father," they're set apart by God the Father, "and preserved in Jesus Christ." They're preserved in Jesus Christ and called. You know how many of them are going to get to heaven? Every one of them. Why? Because they're preserved. Not in their perseverance and what they did, but in what the Lord has done for them. They're preserved in Jesus Christ. They were set apart by God the Father. They're preserved in Jesus Christ. And then they're called. And then he comes and says, "Mercy, because I need mercy. I need mercy for sins past. I need mercy for today. I'll need mercy for tomorrow." Isn't it good to know that the mercy of the Lord endureth forever? Over in Psalm 136, he tells us that over and over and over again. Brother Jason would tell us, that being his favorite psalm, he'd tell us, read it. Every verse says, "The mercy of the Lord endureth forever." Isn't it good to know that God's mercy that was there for the past is here for the moment? And when tomorrow comes, it'll be there. And we're preserved in Christ Jesus. "Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied." He said, "Though men would come and preach false doctrine, don't be afraid of that." Remember that he told us that would take place? He says, "But ye, beloved, build up yourselves," building up yourselves on your most holy faith. We need to be grounded in the truth. We don't need to be weak and able to be led about by every wind and doctrine. When someone comes preaching false doctrine before us, it's not if, it's when they come. We need to be able to identify that. And when brethren get off just a little bit, you know, it doesn't take long when you're off a little bit and you build on that which is off a little bit for you to be off a lot. It can happen so quickly. So, and that's true when we practically put things in place in our lives. It's important that we strive to enter in at the straight gate and walk in the narrow way which leadeth to life. Again, not how you get to heaven, but how you walk here in this world in a life abundant that's pleasing to the Lord. He says, keep yourselves in the... Go ahead. He says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. And I love this. He says, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. That reminds me of what he tells us over in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8. In the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 8, he talks about our prayer life. He says in verse 26... He says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. You ever been trying to speak to the Lord and just don't know even what to say, what to ask for, don't even know what's best? Here's wonderful language for us when we're there. And he says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings. That's the Spirit of Almighty God makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. In other words, he intercedes for us. Even as we're trying to pray and we don't know what to pray for, we have the Spirit of Almighty God who intercedes for us and leads us and guides us in our prayer. That's why we ought to pray even for those who are praying for us, that the Lord would lead them and guide them. And he tells us that's what we're to do, praying in the Holy Ghost. And back over in verse 21, he says, keep yourselves in the love of God. That doesn't mean we can do anything to get in the love of God, nor can you do anything to get out of the love of God. God loves his people. But it's talking about we're to talk about the love of God. We're to view the love of God. We're to share that love of God. We're to tell God's children about his love. We're to remember that he loves me, that he has forgiven me, that his grace has been shown to us. We're to believe what he says, that he loves us and all that he's shown unto us. We're to keep ourselves in the love of God. We're to not to lose that first love. We're to have that to be the operating force in our lives. And then we're to deal with God's children in that same way, in the love of God. We're to love God's children as he's loved us. He says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Isn't it good to know when we're looking, we're not looking to what we deserve, we look for his mercy. I'm hoping and praying for his mercy, aren't you? I'm praying, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, forgive me. And supply what mercy gives me, not what I deserve, but what I get because of mercy. God's mercy doesn't pour his wrath out upon us. But Jesus bore that payment so that we would not have to. Jesus paid that price. God showed us his mercy. And the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that all the way unto eternal life. I need mercy today. Need mercy tonight. Need it tomorrow. Until that time I get home to be with the Lord, and certainly the day I die, God be merciful to me. And I thank God that he will be. His mercy endureth forever. He's rich in mercy, by the way. He has enough mercy for all of us. You might feel like, well, he's going to need a lot of mercy for me. Well, he has a lot of mercy. He's rich in mercy. And he has a great love. God, for his great love, who is rich in mercy, all of what he's done for us as his children. And he says, of some have compassion, making a difference. This is when we come across God's little children that can be in all kinds of rough places in this world. Isn't it good to have a gospel of mercy and grace to share with God's little children that you meet along the way who feel like, maybe they feel like I've sinned away my day of grace. You know, there are some gospels, there are some so-called gospels that preach such as that. That I've sinned away, I've gone too far. Listen, we know there's a Lord who is merciful, who's rich in mercy, who can reach our case and does reach our case, and he's going to preserve every one of his children. He says, and if some have compassion, we can come to them in love and tell them about the great love of God. That's what preaching is. I tell you about how much God has loved his people. that God had a people, and He loves His people, and nothing will separate Him from His people. He'll never stop loving them. Isn't that so different than what you hear in the world, that God will love you if you'll do this, and if you don't do this, God who loves you is going to then cast you into eternal woe forever and ever? Isn't that conflicting? Isn't that contrary? It isn't the Word. And when someone is preaching that, they fall into the same... They fall into these verses that precede here that tells us about false teachers and false prophets that come teaching things that are contrary to the Word of God. And that's a dangerous place to be. And he says, of others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. If there's a brother that's doing wrong, we're obligated to go to them in love. And we're also obligated to warn them, don't keep going that way. Don't keep going that direction. That if we walk in that course, it's going to bring trouble in your life. It's going to bring heartache in your life. And sometimes you have to go, you know, somebody said, well, we don't want this one and we don't want that one. We wouldn't want to have that person as a member of our church. We wouldn't want to have this person. Listen, we're not talking about going out and grabbing just anyone, but I'm telling you, when God works in the heart of a little child of God, He may be in a place where he's in a mess in his life. He may be where he's messed up so much and has gone so far and seems to be so far away. But isn't it wonderful to have a gospel that fits the case of every one of his little children wherever they are? And when the Lord has dealt with them, they are new creatures. Old things pass away, and behold, all things have become new. And he says, you save them with fear. We're to preach and warn them of the judgments of God that fall upon us when we go contrary to the Word of God. And then he goes on, he says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. When he talks about hating the garments spotted by the flesh, that means we're not to love the sin that's about them. But those little children of God, we're to help them in every way that we can. We don't love the sin. I don't like my garment that's spotted by... Do you? I don't like this old man that I am. I don't like all that I've been and all that I've done. But I'm thankful God's grace is sufficient. I'm thankful that He saves to the uttermost. I'm thankful there's forgiveness with Him and there's mercy, even for a sinner like me. And though our sins were as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be whiter than snow. Isn't it good to have a God who can just clean you up whiter than snow? Even with all that's wrong with you. I don't know all that's wrong with you. I don't want to know it. I know this is enough wrong with me. I don't want you to know about it. And I'm sure you don't want me to know about it, but God knows all about it. There's nothing hidden from Him. And yet He washed us and made us whiter than snow. We were red like crimson, but He made us whiter than snow. Isn't that wonderful to know that we have that kind of God? And oh, I'll tell you, He says we can save them with fear. Now, that doesn't mean save them eternally. It means delivering them from the troubles that they would have faced and going contrary to the ways of God here in this world. You can be a help to me and I can be a help to you. It helps us to talk to one another and encourage one another. When we get to being doubting the Lord, I mean, how many times has God's little children come to you when you really need it and just said a word that can be of so much encouragement to you? And in a sense, it saves you. Not for heaven and immortal glory, but it delivers you here in this time world. And really, where did that deliverance come from? Came from the Lord. Anything good comes from the Lord, and all the praise belongs to Him. He goes on in verse 24 and says, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. You feel like I'm just not going to be able to do what I need to do. I've known people who stayed out of the church because they felt like I just can't live up to what it means to be a church member. I can't live up to that. I'm going to fall short of that. The Bible says here, and it means what it says, that the Lord is able to keep us from falling. You know how many of us are able to keep us from falling? Not one of us. But God is able to keep us from falling. That means when I look to Him, I'll have what I need. When I depend upon Him, my house will stand. When I build my life based upon His Word, it'll stand. The devil will tell me, no, you can't do it, but the devil's a liar. He's been a liar from the beginning. The Lord says He's going to keep us from falling. As we look to Him, He's able to keep us from falling. He says, and to present you, the Lord is going to present us faultless. That ought to just cause all of us to think, how could that be? How could I ever be faultless? None of us would dare say we're faultless in and of ourselves. I pray that we wouldn't. But one day we'll stand before the Lord faultless. You know how that's going to be? Because Jesus was faultless. And He took our sins and gave us His righteousness. He took our sins away from us and paid for them on the cross. And His righteousness that He had walked in this life, fulfilling the law to every jot and tittle, that righteousness is given to us so that as we stand before God, we'll stand before Him one day faultless. And really, as we meet here today in this church, in the eyes of the Father, through the blood of the Jesus Christ, He looks upon us and receives our sacrifices of praise today as faultless, being washed in the blood of Jesus. Not in what we've done, but in what He's done. He said, before the presence of His glory, with exceeding joy. You know what's going to be in heaven? Joy. And not just joy, exceeding joy. What's exceeding joy? I don't know if it sounds good, doesn't it? Exceeding joy. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. We have a lot of joy here, but one day we'll have, in the fullness of things, exceeding joy. It's going to be exceeding joy. And then He concludes, after telling us salvation is of the Lord, He concludes by saying, to the only wise God, there's only one. There's one God. Manifest in three persons. The only wise God. And He's wise. Great is His wisdom. He's our Savior. He is our Savior. No other Savior. He's our Savior. Be glory. Let's praise Him. Glory given to Him. And majesty. He's seated on the right hand of the Father. He majestic sweetness sits enthroned. There's Jesus Christ seated on the right hand of the Father. And dominion. He's in control. He's in control. He's the Lord. And power. He has all power. He's omnipotent. Both now. He has it right now. And how long will He have it? He'll have it forever. And then He says, amen. So be it. I hope we can all say amen to that which is written in God's Word. Thanks be to God we have such a Savior. May we be drawn to close to Him and His love. And may we never forget that first love. May that be a priority in our life, to seek first serving Him to whom all glory and honor and praise belong. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.